My prayer this morning, Father, is a simple one, that you would give me a heart for your word and a word for our hearts. Amen. Are you people watchers? I love to watch people. In fact, Vicky and I will go shopping, perhaps to an antique mall or the outlets, and she lets me listen to a book on tape and watch the people while she shops. And I had a girlfriend back in college. We not only watched people, but we made up stories about them. Because have you ever noticed? Some people just don't fit together. Like you've got this incredibly tall guy walking hand in hand, looking lovely at this little tiny round girl. Like maybe he's nearsighted or something. They just don't fit. Or you've got an old person and a young person, and they don't look like the grand. I just like to watch people. And for my entire life, when I thought of Palm Sunday, and this might happen to you too, I thought of the crowd as being sort of homogeneous. They were like the chorus in an opera. They all showed up, they all shouted Hosanna, and they all left. And then they went up to the dressing room and played cards and had a sub until it was time to come back down. Not that I would ever do that. Right? So they just sort of entered the picture, did their Hosanna thing, and left. Now, speaking about operas, if you ever want to make a lot of money in an opera and have a lot of time eating hoagies and playing cards, Mozart often put the chorus at the very beginning and at the very end, and you had 2 hours to yourself in the dressing room. But then I started thinking about these people at Palm Sunday Road, is what they call it now, and it occurred to me that they are not a homogeneous group. They are a heterogeneous group. I didn't have to look those up, but I did check them out with a friend of mine. Homogeneous is when we're all exactly the same. Heterogeneous is when we're different. So there were, thank goodness, true believers. The disciples were there. The group of women that financially supported Jesus and his ministry were there. They're the ones who stole the horse. You heard that. They just went over and took it. When I was a kid, I was allowed to take things that didn't belong to me. So the disciples lifted. Now, did you hear it said colt? It turns out that, and some people always get confused. Was it a horse? Was it a donkey? Colt means young for both of them. It could have been a horse or a donkey. We usually preach it was a donkey. So the believers get the donkey, they put coats on it, and Jesus hops on. And they made it very clear that the animal had never been ridden. I don't know if you watch cowboy movies, but that's usually one of the fun scenes when they put some tenderfoot on the back of a horse that's never been ridden, and we get to watch them fall off. Jesus just sat down on the horse. There's a miracle. Then Jesus proceeds. Now, I hope that one day you get to go to Israel. The Episcopals call it the fifth gospel. It really does open your eyes. And I've stood on the Mount of Olives and I've looked at Jerusalem. And there is a point on Palm Sunday Road called Dominus Flavi, the Tears of the Master. Do you remember in Scripture where it says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, that I could gather you like a mother hen gathers his chicks? That's where it is. And they build a chapel there. And there's a window that outlines all of Jerusalem. You can see from wall to wall, top to bottom, on the hill. So Jesus is coming down this road with the true believers. And perhaps they're the ones who started, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were noisy. They were celebrating. They were noisy. And now kids today call it FOMO. There are a group of people who have a fear of missing out. Wherever there's a loud noise or a shiny object, that's where, oh, I've got to get the newest, brightest, everything. So there were a group of people who heard what was going on, had no idea what was going on, and got involved because of the hoopla. And now they're throwing coats and palms in front of Jesus. Speaking of clothing, where were you when the Eagles won the Super Bowl? Well, I was in my living room, but my son, Jonathan, lived two blocks away from the art museum. Now, this is very important. And he is a rabid, crazy, nuts Eagles fan, and he had a Zach Ertz jersey. Why is that important? Because as soon as they won, he ran with his Zach Ertz jersey to the art museum and put his Zach Ertz jersey on Rocky. And if you saw it, it made it to Sports Illustrated and it made it to ESPN. He gave up his garment to celebrate the Eagles. Well, they gave up their garments to celebrate Jesus' entry. And I do believe that he has that little snippet on ESPN taped. He's like, that's my jersey. Now, if that's illegal, it wasn't my son, Jonathan. It was somebody else. Right? He was so excited that he literally gave his garment. So then I asked, because the dad asked these things, did you get it back? The answer was no. But he has that place in history. He put Zach Ertz on. So we've got the true believers and we got the FOMOs, the fear of missing out. What's going on? My dad always said there's four kinds of people. People who make things happen, people who watch things happen, three kinds. And people who say, what happened? These are those. What happened? They got involved. Well, then there were the Passover participants. Because you remember, during this week is going to be the Feast of Passover. And if you've ever been to a Seder, there is a moment when they say to each other, next year in Jerusalem. So these were the people, the faithful. They probably had their Sunday best on. They had their best lemon-sucking face. And they were piously walking to Jerusalem for Passover. And along come these loud, boisterous, crazy people throwing garments in the street and palms. Now, some of them, as the parade went by, said, that's Jesus. He preached in my town. What's going on? And somebody told them, and they joined the procession. And then there were other people who were complaining that these crazy Jesus followers were clogging the intersections. And somebody should deal with that right away. So, are you getting this picture? We've got believers, we've got FOMOs, we've got religious, pious people. And then, I'm sorry to say, there were the spies. The scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders were looking for reasons to turn Jesus in and have him dealt with by the authorities. And here we have this processional with people who are calling Jesus, did you hear it? The king. So the Greek author Plutarch describes how kings are supposed to enter a city. He tells about one Roman general, Aemilius Paulus, who won a decisive victory over the Macedonians. When Aemilius returned to Rome, his triumphant procession lasted 3 days. The first day was dedicated to displaying all the artwork that Aemilius and his army had plundered. The second day was devoted to all the weapons of the Macedonians they had captured. The third day began with the rest of the plunder borne by 250 oxen whose horns were covered in gold. This included more than 17,000 pounds of gold coins. Then came the captured and humiliated king of Macedonia and his extended family. Finally, Aemilius himself entered Rome, mounted on a magnificent chariot. Aemilius wore a purple robe interwoven with gold. He carried his laurels in his right hand, and he was accompanied by a large choir singing hymns, praising the military accomplishments of the great Aemilius. That's how a king is supposed to enter the city. But the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, he entered riding on a lowly donkey. If he had consulted his political advisors, they would have told him how leaders are supposed to enter. But they were calling him king, which began to, shall we say, rattle the cage of the religious leaders and the political leaders. Are there any more people in this parade? Well, of course there are. There were the businessmen who were taking their wares to Jerusalem to sell for Passover. They fall into the what's happening group. There were couriers bringing messages, the first century equivalent of mailmen. There were bandits. I don't know if you know this, but the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, as in the story of the Good Samaritan, was known for its bandits. They were looking to rob anybody that was on their way to Passover. And think about this. There were totally non-religious people who were going to see the Passover, just like a lot of people go to New Orleans to see Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras. This is the heterogeneous group that is walking together, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And if you and I are believers, we are part of the procession as well. We all got our palms on the way into church. Barbara played the palms, thank you, during the offertory. I worked at a church where the pastor hated that song, would not have it in worship. So my friend Robin, who was the alto soloist, always sang it as the prelude before he came in. But we are also part of this procession. Then I have to ask the question, why are you here? Are you one of the true believers? Are you one of the FOMOs? Are you here because this is what you've always done on Palm Sunday? I get out my nice clothes and I go. I'm getting ready for Easter. Because let's be honest, we call them Creasters or Sienese, but there are a lot of people who do Palm Sunday and Easter. Why are you here? Well, I struggle with this text because I know the end of the story. And yes, they taught us in seminary not to talk about the end of the story, but our more liturgical friends, our Lutheran brothers and sisters, the Episcopals and the Catholics, they actually celebrate Palm Sunday for the first half of this service, and then they read the entire Passion narrative at the end. And right in the middle of the service, my son will be doing this today, right in the middle of the service, they stop. He will change all of his vestments from the celebratory Palm Sunday to the darker, the red for Holy Week. And they will come up and change all of the vestments in the front of the church, because this is the point where Jesus begins his journey to the cross. I struggle with this because I know the end of the story. There's treachery in this story, and deceit, betrayal, false testimonies, unjust sentencing, torture, mocking, violent death, and at the very end, Easter Sunday. Every year, it's like watching a train wreck. We're helpless to stop or change the outcome. I want Easter to come. I don't want to walk again the painful path of Holy Week. But without Holy Week, there is no Easter. So why are you here? Are you a seeker? Do you need to understand what's going on? Are you a believer reliving the past to influence your future? Are you a doubter? Well, it's a nice story, but really not applicable to my life. Are you a captive? My mom and my wife or my friend brought me, and I'm stuck here until the last hymn. Are you, I made up this word, are you a habit-er? You're here because that's what you've always done. It's your habit. Now, we all are here for different reasons, but Jesus is here for only one reason, to give his life for you and for me. Someone noted that the problem with palms is that once you cut the branches free, they don't live very long. The problem with Palm Sunday is that the excitement of the crowds doesn't last very long either. And a few short days later, on Good Friday, those same voices that shouted Hosanna are going to shout, "Crucify him." That's the way popular opinion is then and now. It's fickle. I wish that the people on Palm Sunday Road gave their hearts and lives to following Jesus. I wish that the love of God in response to God's love for us spread for this prayerful, praiseworthy parade. It still can, because Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week, not the end. That's why I'm here. Why are you here? Amen. For those of you that did not, don't run yet.